Previously on the Ron Van Dam Show.
Excuse me. And if I'm having a shitty day, I'll make sure you do as well. No urine test. Nothing. They're getting into something they have no idea. Contorted into a donut.
And now, today's episode of the Ron Van Dam Show.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hello. Hello.
Whatever.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you very much.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Julie. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Anyway, so welcome to... Oh, thank you. Thank you. All right, thank you. That's really not necessary. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. For my next number, I will sing Vivaldi's Concerto number 72 in D minor. Then I switch to F minor and then W major. It's an incredible piece. Thank you so much. All right, or would you like me to sing something else? Hey, oh, turning on me so quickly? Wow, that's mean. Oh, boo yourself. Later on the show today, we have an expert who's going to talk about bullying with a campaign to stop bullying. I think bullying is one of the worst things ever. And we'll get into it later on, because if you're bullied like in school when you're a child, that carries with you the rest of your life. It forms you, it makes you who you are until the day you die. And that's an amazing circumstance. And you can say, Ron, what kind of data do you have to show that that's a fact? Well, just shut up, because that's my opinion and you know I'm right. And unfortunately, the President of the United States is the poster child bully. So that's kind of odd, isn't it? And then his wife, Melania, whatever her name is, she goes out and she lectures about how horrible bullying is. Have you looked to your side and seen Bully King standing next to you? God... I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get it, so I'm not going to talk about it. I talk about it every day, and I'm sick of talking about it. Let's talk about you. Let's talk about sex. Wait a minute. That's not right. That's not right at all. Alexa. Hey, Alexa. What's your favorite radio talk show?
The Ron Van Dam Show, of course.
Okay, thank you so much. I think I'm falling in love with her. Every day in the morning, I ask her what the weather's going to be for the day, and she answers me. Sometimes I'll just stand near her and say hello, and she'll say hello back to me. And I took her out for dinner last week, which was difficult because she doesn't run on batteries. I had to plug her in. There was no plug. near the table at the restaurant that I was visiting. So it was difficult. I had to find a table that had an outlet near it, and then I could talk to Alexa while I was eating my dinner. She's a great date because she doesn't eat much. Anyway, cat fight between Alexa and Siri. All right, that's stupid. That's just stupid. Hey, I got a question for you.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today?
Now, this does not apply to everybody, but it probably applies to you. If you ever want to go on a safari, you don't have to go to Africa and put on a pith helmet. Yes, I said pith. You don't have to do that. All you have to do is walk into your bedroom, open your closet door, you will find an adventure that you never imagined possible. It will be the adventure of your life. Because housed within your own bedroom clothes closet are treasures and wonders that you never imagined. It's incredible. It's like Disney World in there. It's going to be messy. It's going to get messy. It's not going to be pretty. Sure, you have some of your clothes hung up on hangers and neatly folded. Yeah, right. But on the floor and stuffed into the overhead compartment are clothes that you never imagined anybody would ever own or wear or possess. It's freaky and it's scary. The scary part is that you thought that you would like these clothes at one point in your life, and then you ended up kind of never wearing them. There are little corners and crevices in your closet where all kinds of strange things lurk in the middle of the night. I did that recently. I took a journey into my closet, packed a lunch, and went digging. And man, the stuff I found was incredible. I found clothes with still the store tags on them. I had never worn them, and they were 10 years old. What's up with that? Why would I buy something that I would never wear? What's wrong with me? I know. You'll find that. You'll find clothes, and you'll go, oh, I didn't know I had this. What do you forget? You have short-term memory loss? You bought this for yourself. At some time, that was a gift to me. No, it wasn't a gift to you. People don't give you gifts of clothing with the price tag still on them. No, that stuff you bought for yourself, but you don't remember it. Yeah, you had a brain freeze clothing-wise. I know. It's fascinating. You actually stand there and say to yourself, oh, this is nice. This is nice. It's in your clothes closet. You should know it's nice already. That shouldn't be a discovery. You shouldn't be discovering stuff in your clothes closet that you know it was there. What, are you kidding me? Maybe if you found a dead body or something like that, that would be interesting. But to find clothes that you already bought and then you're surprised by them, that's a little sick. That's just a little sick. And you all know that you do that. You have clothes in there that you would never wear. Every time you go through your clothes closet to get dressed, in the morning, I guess, depending on your schedule, there's a certain amount of clothing that you always skip over because you would never wear that crap. You know you would never wear that crap. It just sits on the hanger and it just sits in the closet. You would never put that on your body. No. I don't know what you were thinking when you bought that thing, but you would never wear it now. So why is it even in your closet? Go through your closet, get rid of it. Get rid of it. No, I can't. I can't part from the things that I don't love. Yeah, that's pretty much true, isn't it? Did you ever go into your sock drawer? Oh, my God. The amazing thing about the sock drawer is that you only have, like, a few pairs of socks that actually mate to each other. The rest of them, they have no mates. They're living alone. They're just strewn socks that came out of the dryer by themselves. I don't know where those little suckers go, but I don't know whether they get sucked up in the washing machine, in the dryer, they disintegrate. I have no idea where these things, they cling on to, probably when you do your sheets and your laundry, they're clinging on to a pillowcase or something. I don't know where they go. There are many socks I haven't seen since. The interesting thing is, it's like a game. It's like a mind game. You take your sock drawer, you dump it on the bed, and then you try to marry up the socks that look vaguely alike. It's called the pairing of the sock desperation move. No, I know these two socks don't belong together, but they're close. No one's going to know the difference. You do that. You get desperate after a while when you run out of socks. I know that's not the same pair, but they have a similar structure and color, so why not? You don't do that with shoes. I can't find my other shoe. Here's a shoe from another pair. I know they don't belong together, but they're pretty close. It's odd. It's an odd attitude. Ever go through your underwear drawer? And whether you're a man or a woman, whether it's panties or underpants, after a while you look at this stuff and you say, I don't know why I wear this. There's nothing left to these things. And the streaks don't come out anymore. I mean, these things are old and worn out. But they're my friends. I've worn them every day, most of my life. There's nothing more intimate than clothing that you wear all the time that is close to your private parts. That's about as intimate as you can get. Panties and underpants, they are your friends. They walk with you. They go through the horrible, itchy times in life. They sit with you, they run with you. Some of the tragic moments in your life you shared with these particular underpants and panties. It's something to consider. How can I part with them? They're my friends. They're my peeps. They are everything to me. Yes, they are about as close to me as you can get, without actually invading my body. And sometimes they do. I love them. Little holes in them and all. Those holes didn't appear by themselves. They're a product of much probing and scratching and wear and tear. Yeah. They're my boys. And my buddies, they were with me at my highest moments and my lowest. How can I get rid of them? Should they not be framed and hung on my wall as reminders of my past? Here are my underpants during my first divorce. I'll never part with them. They remind me of her. Yes, going through a closet is not easy. But when you get into that underpant panty drawer, that's where it hurts. It hurts so bad.
Listening to the Ron Van Dam Show is like realizing that you put your underwear on backwards this morning. It's wrong, but it doesn't feel bad. And it's not like anyone's ever gonna find out, so just go with it. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Thank you. This program is absolutely free. You don't have to pay money to listen to this thing, which is probably why we have a lot of listeners. And we do take credit cards.
Yeah? We accept Visa, MasterCard, and Discover. Oh.
Oh boy. That's embarrassing. But we do accept credit cards, and I guess that's important somehow. You know what bothers me? When I go to a supermarket or a store and the cashier yells instructions at me on how to handle my credit card payment when I already know that, they treat me like a child. If I hear one more cashier say to me, "Insert your chip now," I'm going to get violent. I know how to put my credit card in the little stupid machine. Thank you. If I have a problem with it, I'll tell you I do. Otherwise, I know to put my card in chip first. Thank you. If you have a chip, insert it into the slot. Really, no kidding. That's new. I'm sorry, I'm from 10 years ago. I swipe everything. I didn't know there were chips on the card. Oh, yes, sir, there are. I know there are. Shut up. Stop telling me these things. And if one more cashier says to me, "Did you find everything you were looking for?" Someone could get hurt. I get very snippy with the cashiers when they say that to me, "Did you find everything you were looking for?" I respond by saying, "No, I still haven't found love." What's the cashier to say at that point? That's at aisle number 6. They don't know what to say. I love it. I love it when I say things and then I look at the expression on the other person's face where they're totally confused by what I just said. That to me is total satisfaction. Just love it. Because everything is so planned and so precise and so scheduled and robotic. You know, like, "How are you today?" "Fine, how are you?" "Oh my God, how horrible is that?" "How was your weekend?" "Do you really care? Do you really care how my weekend was?" "No, you don't." So I end up telling you anyway, but as I'm telling you about my weekend, I'm knowing full well you don't care at all. Why am I even answering you? I actually say to people, and people who know me will verify this by inserting their chip, if someone says to me, "Ron, how was your weekend?" I will actually say to them, "I don't know, what do you care?" I will say that, and it floors them. Not only is this guy honest, but he's also an asshole at the same time. It's a double entendre. I love confusing people. People who know me realize that when I do that, I'm just doing it out of love. Something that I can't find in the supermarket. Oh, sure, there's dog food, and there are vegetables, and there's fruit, and a deli section. But there's no section for love. Even when you go to the greeting card area where they spout on every piece of paper how much you love people, "Happy birthday, congratulations, you're my best friend, I love you, you're the best spouse ever," you can't find love there. You would think you could. You would think you'd find other people looking through greeting cards and you could turn to them and say, "This is a love time, isn't it? This is a time that we're both sharing where we want to express our feelings for somebody else in the shape of a card. We're both here to express our love. Why don't we just forget the cards, go back to my place," and, well, but you can't. When I was growing up, when I was in my late teens and early 20s, a friend told me that the best place to meet women was in a supermarket. And I didn't expound upon why. And I guess it's true in the sense that you can start conversations. People have started conversations with me in supermarkets, and I don't know why. See, I'm very tall. I'm 6'3" tall. So short women love me. Excuse me, sir. Can you reach that can on the top shelf? I can't reach it. Why, of course I can. I'll be happy to help you. And I reach it, you know, in my sexiest pose, and I give them the can, and they say, thank you very much. They crack a little joke, and we never see each other again. It's a moment in time. And I'm not playing that song, because that's the Whitney Houston song. Lovely woman, I'm sure. Got a little off track in her personal life, I suppose. But that song? No, I can't hear that anymore. I'm done with that. Anyway, it's a moment in time, and it's give me one moment in time with another woman in a supermarket reaching for a can for her. I guess the inference was that men don't belong in supermarkets, and if you play really stupid and ask a woman for advice on if this melon is fresh or not, or ripe, that strikes up a conversation. You end up getting married and having 6 kids. I don't quite understand that whole thesis, but I guess there's something to it. I don't really know. It's not so much ending up with the wife and the 6 kids. It's getting a decent melon. That pretty much is my biggest concern, so I don't know. We have a great guest today. We're going to talk about bullying. I happen to be a very, very strong proponent of putting bullies behind bars. Bullying is a form of intimidation and terrorism. It ruins people's lives. Some people actually commit suicide accordingly because they feel like they're so much nothing. It's a horrible thing. Bullying should be punishable by death. Well, maybe not death. Maybe life sentences or the removal of fingers. Something that teaches the bully that you cannot do that. You can't do that. You can't intimidate and threaten and terrorize somebody and get away with it just because you're 10 years old. Sounds like I'm talking about Trump, doesn't it?
Gentlemen, did you ever notice that it always seems to be the ladies who pamper themselves with a spa day, with the mani-pedi and the facials and the massage? Do you ever think maybe you'd like to have a special day for yourself, but you are afraid it might be a little gay? Well, good news, gentlemen. Now you can have your own special spa day at Ramon Ramirez's Not-So-Gay Salon for Men. Let Ramon Ramirez take the stress off a tough day with a long, deep massage. It's not gay, it's therapeutic. After you relax, Ramon Ramirez will use special oils and lotions and maybe clean up some of your hairier man parts. It's not gay, it's hygienic. A lot of guys are doing it. Then it's time to kick back and let it all hang out in a long steam room session with Ramon Ramirez. It's not gay, much. So gentlemen, why wait? It's time for you to have a great day for yourself at Ramon Ramirez's Not-So-Gay Salon for Men. Please, no fat guys.
Hi, Ron. How you doing?
I'm great. Greta Monahan joins us. She's a self-made lifestyle expert and mom, of course, and she's featured on The Rachel Ray Show, Good Morning America, TLC, and 2,000 other programs. And she joins us here today. We're talking about bullying and how to stamp that out and some ideas about how people can participate in doing so. Bullying is like one of my pet peeve thing here. I think that when you go through experiences like that in school, it's not just what happens in school. It stays with you the rest of your life, and that's significant. It overrides everything, the way that you're treated when you're a kid by your peers. It's an important subject, and I'm glad it's become so discussable these days.
I agree. I'm so glad, and everything you said is so true. You know, the numbers of the statistics on bullying are rising in America, and I think, you know, it's not just happening in just schoolyards and playgrounds. It's also happening online with cyberbullying. That's why it's more important than ever before that we get together and eradicate it.
Absolutely, yeah. Too bad politically there's not a good example, but that's besides the point. You don't have to comment. Anyway, How do we do this? I mean, I know that parents can get involved and such, but can kids actually control and participate in their own suffrage, so to speak?
Yeah, so I'm really happy to be here with you because it's Pilot Pen. I'm working with them as a partner, and Pilot Pen has partnered with Stomp Out Bullying, which is America's number one prevention website to help with all the information and offer resources to parents, kids, teachers, everyone who wants to know more on the subject, and also people who need immediate help. And what they're partnering on is a campaign called Erase Bullying for Good, and it's so easy for everyone to get involved. That's why I'm so excited to be able to talk about it. It's their friction clicker erasable gel ink pens, which I love anyway and always put on my list for back to school. Sure. They're actually doing a specially marked pack where when you buy that pack of pens, they're donating 10 cents for each pack of pens. So right now, they're committed to $325,000 in a donation just to date. Sure. So going back to school is about, you know, really helping our kids, you know, be ready and feel confident and successful. And talking about bullying is really a great starting place.
Yeah, well, it's definitely a great starting place, but it certainly needs to go further and as stomp it out, as the phrase is. I believe that the bullying is a form of terrorism. I truly believe that. That is the purpose of it. And I believe it should be punishable accordingly, not by death or anything, but it should be. I mean, you can't just let that happen. That is a form of terrorism. And I know schools are stepping up somewhat.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things, I just try to share some tips. I'm a parent of two boys, and, you know, we always try to share together, and you obviously know a lot about this. But basically, the first thing is pay attention. Pay attention and really observe, you know, watch your kids. Listen to what they're talking about their relationships, you know, how they're interacting in school, just so that you can be, you know, aware when you think that there's something not quite right, and trust your instincts on that. I think the other thing is prepare your kids with the right tools. You know, when they go back to school, it's all very kind of exciting, but also stressful. And we want to take the stress and the mess out of going back to school. So when you go out there and you get all of your, you know, things that you need, this is actually a great moment in time to talk to them. You can talk to them when you just pick up the pack of pens and friction clicker and say, hey, this is, you know, we're able to actually contribute to anti-bullying. And sometimes that alone is a great vehicle to start the conversation. The other thing is monitor online activity. You know, Ron, the kids are on online a lot more than we were. I wasn't on at all back in the day, but now it's where cyberbullying occurs, so we need them to understand that and to be told that they can come to us or to any trusted adult, and that we encourage them to do so. And lastly, I say be an upstander, not a bystander. And by that, I mean that, you know, really teach your kids to stand up for themselves, to go to an adult. Don't do it alone, but also if the kids see something or see bullying or think they have, just talk about it and go to an adult. It's really important.
Yeah, it is important. And, you know, like Pilot Pens, I mean, I know that, you know, that is part of, you know, marketing to connect to a cause, but they are connecting to a cause, and I wish more companies would connect to a cause. And that is, it's a good way of marketing, it's a positive way of marketing, and it does change society when you do that. So congrats
to them.
Absolutely,
we need companies to do it.
Yes, absolutely, so good. And where do we go for more information here?
So you can go straight to www.erasebullyingforgood.com or stompoutbullying.com. You're going to find everything you need there. And just because I think you'll love it, they also, this year, second year in a row, are offering the G2 Overachiever Student Grant, which one student will win $15,000, which, hey, you know, as a parent, selfishly, I love that for all the good they're doing, because we know a lot of kids are doing great things out there, Ron. So Pilot really wanted to jump in and do it more than they've ever done before. So they're very really cool. Authentic about this, and it's very meaningful. I'm honored to be part of it.
Very cool. Well, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Ron.
Okay, you have a nice day.
You too. Thanks so much.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Lovely. Yeah, you know, it's a trade-off, kids, is what it is. Companies only want to do well for themselves. We know that. Pilot pens, fantastic, whatever. I use them to write things down with. Fine. I get it. Companies want to make money and sell you things. The trade-off is that they will take causes like this, and they will actually do some good. They'll throw some money toward it, which is actually my money because I buy pens. They put some money toward it. They do make it a conversation. They do have a cause. They do bring light to it. They try to make a change. That part I do like. So it's a trade-off, you know. But, you know, it's life itself, kids. It's life itself. Bullying sucks. Biggest problem I think we have in child development in this country. And again, it's very unfortunate that the quote-unquote leader of this country, the self-proclaimed king and dictator, uses methods of manipulation, lying, intimidation, degradation in order to run this country. It's disgusting. It's horrible. But again, not my discussion for today. So, that being said, I do wish you the very best. I hope that you've had a good time today. I sort of hope that, in a way, in a small way. But I sincerely do say to you that I really do wish you peace. Go forth and multiply. Not literally, that's just like a term.